Good evening, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Satan is the god of this world. Imagine a world where Satan is God, and it is a perfect world. A world there is peace, a world where everyone has no trouble. And then they die in their sin, and they end up in hell. That's exactly what he wants to do. That is the world that he promised all those who would sell their soul to him. That's what he promised. That's what he promises by defining success as measured by the abundance of what you possess. If you can indulge in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life to its fullest, you have lived a good life. That's how the god of this world has deceived the millions and millions of people who lived and died on this earth throughout the ages. Thank God for trouble. Thank God for the many difficulties in life. If not for the difficulties and the problems in life, we will not want to find someone who can solve us, solve our problems, someone who can help us. Remember when the Lord came, he came to help those who are sick. He did not come to someone who thinks he is very well, who thinks that he is not sick, who thinks that he doesn't need a physician. Those were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the priests. That's the ones who rejected Christ because all was well with their soul, so they thought, until they die in their sin and they end up in hell. This is going to be the destiny of millions of people on this earth. And so when we come to John chapter 14, you realize if your Bible is like mine, the next few chapters, right up to chapter 17, most of it will be in red. This is a very, very long teaching by the Lord Jesus Christ, in particular to his disciples. Because in John 17 will be his high priestly prayer. The start of John 18 will be the coming of Judas Iscariot with the soldiers to arrest Christ. And right up to the very end, Christ will be crucified, Christ will die on the cross, and Christ will rise from the dead, and Christ will appear to his disciples before his ascension in the book of Acts. And so these few chapters, 14, 15, 16, and 17, are very, very pertinent to all of us, because we all live in a troubled world. Suicide is on the increase. You read this almost every day. Some of them not recorded. Some of them are recorded, especially in America. Especially when it happens to children, to teenagers, to high school students, who are supposed to have the life ahead of them, who are supposed to feel safe and secure, whose only trouble in life is to perhaps pass the exam. That's it. Why would a high school student in secondary school want to take his life if home is a place where they can find clothing and food? Isn't that enough to keep them alive? They are not asked to provide for their home. They are not asked to look for a job. All they need to do is to study hard, pass the exams. And yet there are some troubles in life that are so great and so terrible that they would take their own lives. And of course, the publicity from the internet is not helping. It's encouraging more and more of our young people to do foolish things, not knowing that by this foolish act, they have just sealed their fate. The moment they die, they will find themselves in hell and end up in this state and condition of pain and gnashing of teeth for eternity. We live in a very troubled world. The Lord had just told his disciples that he was going to leave them. He was going to die on the cross. And they had been enjoying a very safe and peaceful environment with Christ for the past 3 years or so. 3 years of obeying the Lord Jesus Christ, 3 years of witnessing miracles of the miracles of hearing the perfect teacher, preaching, teaching perfect truths. And whenever they obey the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, and when they were to be rebuked because they have transgressed the laws of the Pharisees, the Lord himself was there to shield them. Not one hair on the head was touched. They went straight to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do your disciples do this? Why do your disciples do that? And so they felt very safe and secure until the Lord said, this moment of safety and security with me on earth is now over. I'm going to leave you by going to the cross, and what you have been experiencing for the past 3 years or so will never return again. It's all over. And so even the disciples, minus Judas Iscariot, they were troubled because such peace on earth, money could not buy. Such peace on earth, we have never experienced before until we followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And now suddenly he wants to take this away from us by telling us that he's going to leave us and die. And dying is something so permanent. Why would he do that? He is the Son of God. And yet, that's what happened. And so the Lord said to them, your heart is now troubled. So stop your heart from being agitated. That's the phrase. Let not your heart be agitated. Be troubled. We live in a troubled world. Even for believers, at times we are troubled. And that's why you find believers sometimes languishing in the pond of despondency for so long, unnecessarily, because, like the disciples at this juncture of their life and ministry, they have forgotten who Jesus Christ really is. Because of the serious nature of what they had just been told, Jesus is leaving us as if he does not care. Why would he take something away from us that is so good for us? The peace that we enjoy with his presence on earth, protecting us, watching over us, whenever we obey his word, and we desire to obey his word. Let not your heart be troubled. Sometimes these troubles are good for us. The troubles that drive us to want to find out a solution to sin, to death, are the good kind of troubles. Because if a world without these troubles, Satan is God, you know how deadly and dangerous this world is. If it is a world that is at peace, it's a utopic world designed and created by the devil, where everything outwardly, superficially looks so clean and good and pure. But underneath it, it's deadly, it's poisonous, it's evil, it is wicked, and you do not know it until you die. And that's why we thank God for trouble. And we thank God for the message of hope, that only in Christ can we find deliverance from all the troubles of this life. Because the troubles that we have on this earth, it's either from the devil himself or from man and from God. You know that, right? The trouble from the devil is full of deception. The trouble from man is full of hidden agenda and evil and wickedness. The trouble from God is to let man know that you are living in God's world. And because of your sin, you and I keep on messing up God's world. And God sent trouble into your life and my life through the creation that he has created for us. The volcanic eruption in Hawaii. Man can't stop it. Man can just simply stand by and observe. They destroy homes, lands, the pristine condition of the beautiful island of Hawaii. Homes that people build with their life savings are taken away from them. There's nothing they can do. These are the kind of troubles that God wanted us to learn and to realize, just as it is for the disciples. But don't let your heart be troubled to the point whereby you forget who you are in Christ, that you forget who Christ is. You believe in God, you continue to believe also in me. This was what the disciples believed in. This was what Jesus told them, don't ever forget. God is the only one who can help you out of your trouble. No one else. Whatever man can do for you, it's only temporal. It's not going to last forever. They help you find a job if you do not have a job, but that's it. You and I know that they cannot hold a job for you. You and I know that there will come a point in time where you're going to lose your job by retirement or by some other means. Doctors can take away our sickness, our illness, but one day we will all fall sick again. And many of us may even die as a result of some terminal sickness. And the doctors will just simply be there to give us some form of palliative care, and that's about it. They will write it off. There's nothing today's medicine can do. You only have so much time left. There is no one who can solve our problems, our troubles, permanently. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ said to the disciples. This world of ours is filled with troubles, and many more troubles await the disciples. And you can see that in the book of Acts. Almost all 12 of Christ's disciples, Matthias replaced Judas Iscariot, died a martyr's death. John, it is said, died of old age in exile. The rest died a martyr's death in a very violent way, all because they wanted to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted to tell the world about the love of God in Christ. Troubles fall on our side. Some of them good, many of them evil. The good ones are the good ones that will drive us closer to God. Tonight you may be an unbeliever. You may not know who Jesus Christ is. You may be troubled by many things in life. The older you get, the more frightening it becomes, the greater your trouble. The trouble that comes the moment you became a parent. The troubles that come when your children are old enough to find a boyfriend or a girlfriend. The trouble that comes when you have to find enough money to pay for their school fees in university. The troubles that come when they are sick and you have to find large amount of money to treat them. The trouble that comes as you grow older and older and you know that you are about to die soon because your time on earth is running out. You do not know when, but you are afraid and you are frightened because you don't know where you're going to go when you die. The trouble that comes, and it doesn't seem to end. A world of trouble. Believe in God. Believe also in Christ. We all must believe in God. The evidence of God is all around us in creation. Do not be so foolish to think that there is no God. It is as if to believe that there is no man who created this building. There is no man who created all the city blocks that we enjoy and live in and work in. To believe that there is no God is the same as to believe that these buildings just came out of the ground on their own. This whole world came into existence because there is God. But who is this God? How great is this God? How transcendent is this God? Oh, this God is great. This God is so transcendent that he lives in heaven above while we dwell on this wicked and sin-filled world below. And that's why Jesus Christ said, you believe in God, you believe also in me. Why? Because you cannot see God and you cannot know God without Christ. We just came back from Kathmandu a couple of weeks ago. We have never been to Kathmandu. The moment the plane landed, we got out of the plane. It was on the tarmac, on the steps, hop onto the bus, drove us into the terminal. We look around us. Everything was new to us. We have never been to this place before. We have never seen the mountains. We have never seen the city. We have never seen anything in Kathmandu until 2 weeks ago. First time. If you were to ask me anything about Kathmandu before I went to Kathmandu, if I have not searched the internet, if I have not seen any photographs or picture, I can't describe anything to you about Kathmandu. But now that we have returned, our team have returned, I can tell you about the hotel we live in. I can tell you about the streets that are perpetually covered by a cloud of dust. I can tell you that the people with the cars and their bicycles and the cows and the animals all travel side by side. I can tell you many things. I can tell you about the food they eat. I can tell you about all these things upon my return, because I've been there and we have returned. Before that, I could not. Who can tell us about heaven? Who can tell us about God? No one, except someone who has been there, who came from there, who can tell us. And that is none other than Christ. And that's why Christ says, you believe in God, you believe also in me, because I came from heaven. I came from where God the Father dwells. And I am also God. That's why Jesus said to all the troubled ones, you don't need to remain in this state of trouble whereby you think you have to fend for yourself all the time. You do not need to be troubled, not knowing where you're going to go when you die. You don't need to be troubled by all the issues and the problems of life that you are helpless to overcome. This world is filled with all sort of troubles. Believe in God, believe also in Christ, because believing God is not enough. Why is it not enough? Because the God you believe in has been manufactured, woven together by the God of this world. It is a God of his making, and sometimes it could be the God of your own making. You believe in God, believe also in Christ, because Christ alone can show you who exactly this God is, and not only to show you and reveal to you who this God is, because he came from there. He knows this God. He will also show us the way to God. He will show us the way to him so that he will receive us and accept us, because no one can approach God unless he can get rid of all his sin. When God appeared to Moses and communed with him, Moses said, can I see you, God? God said, no man can see me and live. Why? Why can't we see God in this mortal flesh and live? Because this mortal flesh standing before a glorious God will just simply die. We are too full of sin, even for believers, even for someone like Moses. That's how great and how holy God is. That's how great and how holy God has revealed himself. And therefore, you and I better realize the trouble we are in without God and without Christ. Because if you think the trouble you have on earth in day-to-day life, in life responsibilities, and you think that the trouble that you experience from the devil is bad enough, the trouble that we have in an all-holy God in the state and condition that we are in is a capital T trouble. Because that kind of trouble upon death will result in us being cast down to hell. The only place that we deserve, the place where all sinners die in sin, will end up. No exception. It does not matter who you are or what you are on earth or what you have done on earth. Because if you think that your good works are good enough to get you out of hell, you think that that is the key to the door to get out of hell, you are foolishly mistaken. You have been duped by the devil. And the reason is, your hands are already stained with sin the moment you are born. You are not born neutral. It is not the world that makes you into a sinner. You look at our children, look at our infants. The sinful nature already found in them as exhibited by their kind of naughty behavior, even when they are 1 or 2 years old or younger. The trouble that we have with God is a good kind of trouble if You are driven to Christ. And that is why Jesus Christ came. And that is why Jesus Christ taught the disciples to assure them, you live in a troubling world. Let me share with you the comforting way to get out of your trouble, not only the superficial temporal trouble that you have on earth, but all the troubles, the greatest of all, is created by the sin in your life, which you need to get rid of in order to get out of hell. No other way. Get rid of the sin that you have committed against God so that you can get out of hell. Because that is the destination we all deserve to be found in. You know that. And it is for eternity because we have committed so many sins. Can you count the number of sins you have committed? The number of idols you have bowed down to? The number of idols that you have created? The number of idols that you continue to call your God? Money? People? Self? Where you did whatever is right in your own eyes. And the numerous lusts of the flesh and the lusts of the eyes, we can't even count them. We can't even number them. From the day we are old enough to understand. Primary one, till now. Can you count the number of sins? You know how great the list of the sins that we have committed against God will be? I'm sure if you are to list it out, it will circle the earth many times over. All of us, per person. Sin of the mind, sin of the heart, sin of the mouth, sin of our hands, sin of our feet. And they don't seem to stop sinning. That's why we are in serious trouble with God. And that's why you believe in God, believe also in me. Why? Because when you believe in God and you believe in Christ, you can address God as Father. And He said, in my Father's house, and He can be your Father too. That means when you get rid of sins through Christ, there is a change in your relationship between you and God. Right now in your sin, the Bible says we are God's enemies. We can't even see the kingdom of heaven. Don't talk about entering. But once you believe in Christ, Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions. The word mansions there simply means many abodes. That means it is big enough for everyone to enter into. That's heaven. He has place for everyone. All you need is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is never so overcrowded. There is no quota. Everyone has a place in heaven. There are many, many vacancies, all ready and available for anyone to enter. There is no sign to say no vacancy. This same word, of course, mentioned also appears in verse 23, and in that context it is translated as our abode. That's why I use the word abode. We will come unto Him and make our abode with Him. Our abode with Him. Always room for one more sinner to come home, to come back to your Creator. That's why Jesus gave us this very comforting revelation. In my Father's house, that's heaven, there are many, many vacancies, many mansions, many places of abode for one more. Will you be that one more tonight? Who will come in? There is no such thing as a no vacancy sign. If it were not so, Jesus says, I would have told you. If there is no more vacancy, Jesus says, I would have told you. The last and final believer to come in, sorry, no more room for anyone more. No such thing as no vacancy. If there is no abode waiting for you, I would have told you. Right now I go to prepare a place for you. I go to make it ready for you so that you can come in. You can come home. What does it mean? Jesus Christ came to live and obey all of God's law. That's part one. But unless and until He suffers and He dies for you and me, that's how He prepares the place for us, by going to the cross to die for us. Otherwise, no one can enter into this heaven. Even though there is no sign to say no vacancy, you and I are not worthy, not good enough to enter because of the sin in our lives. How would the Lord Jesus Christ prepare the place for us? He went to the cross. That's how he prepared the place for us. To take away your sins and my sins. To take away your punishment and my punishment. The suffering that he endured, as recorded in the Gospels, are not caused by the Jews or by Pilate or by the priests and the Pharisees, as if Christ was a weakling, that these soldiers were so powerful that Christ could not escape from them. Christ could escape from Pilate and from all the soldiers of the entire Roman Empire easily and free himself, but he did not. He allowed himself silently to be led like a lamb, the Bible says, like a lamb that is weak, mild, and meek. Did not deliver himself, even though he was perfect. Why did he do that? Because he was preparing a place for us. And the only way to prepare a place for us is to die for us, to suffer for us, to take the punishment for your sins and my sins, that only the life and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can wash away. That's the enormity of your sins and my sins, that no one could save us, no angel could save us, only the Son of God to take a form of your body and my body to become one of us. And that's what he did, to be born of the Virgin Mary. From infancy, he grew up to become a man. At the age of 30, he obeyed the Father's will. And he lived a perfect life in accordance to all of God's demands. And then God's demand, last, final completion of his mission was to suffer and die. Because your sins and my sins cannot be simply swept under the carpet. The justice of God would not allow God to do that. Someone must pay for our transgressions, and no one could do it other than the Son of God and the Son of Man, Jesus of Nazareth, whom God called the Christ, the anointed Savior. To a world that is in trouble, to a world that is filled with trouble because of sin, because of evil and wickedness. And that's what Jesus Christ meant when he said, I go. Where was he going? He just told them, I'm going to the cross. I go to prepare. How is he preparing? By dying. So that you and I, who put our faith and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who identify ourselves with Christ, who died with Christ, even though it happened 2,000 years ago, when you sincerely, truly, with all your heart, cried to God and said, God, I am a sinner, I am undone, I deserve to be sent to hell because of the enormity of the sins that I have committed and transgressed against you. But in your grace and your mercies, in your love for me, you send the only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to live and to die for me. And I believe with all my heart that he was crucified for me. He suffered for me. He was punished for me. He took my place. I believe, I accept him as my substitute. Forgive me. Forgive me for Jesus' sake, for my sins have now been washed away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all you need to do, to believe, to identify, to accept that Jesus Christ really actually died for me. That's what Jesus Christ meant. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What does that mean? That I will come again. That means I will rise from the dead. And you who believe in me will no longer die anymore. That's what his message was all about as he walked on this earth. That's what he told the disciples in the face of the death of Lazarus. You believe in me, you will never die. That's exactly what it means. You will never die. Because death in the Bible is described and defined as someone who dies in sin, ending up in hell. That's the definition of death. That's the definition of death given to us by God. That's what God said to Adam from the very beginning before the fall. You sin, you will surely die, which means you will surely die and end up in hell if you die in sin. But all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ no longer die in sin, they die in Christ. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, instantaneously he went to paradise, because that's what he testified to the thief who believed in him few hours before his death. Jesus said to him, today you shall be with me in paradise. That's how we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, the moment he died, he went to paradise. He went to heaven, in other words. in spirit. On the third day after he died, God raised him from the dead and given to him a glorified body. That's what Jesus Christ meant. I will come back for you because you will also be given the glorified body. And then we will be forever together. This temporary 3 years of amazing peace and tranquility that you have been enjoying will soon be yours to enjoy in heaven. And you cannot go to heaven in this state and condition, in this mortal flesh. I want to be with you forever and ever, but in order to do that, you need to be given the glorified body. And that's what Jesus Christ had to do. Go to the cross to die for us, and then one day he will return to take us all to be with him in the glorified body. And what the disciples tasted and enjoyed during these past 3 years will continue to be enjoyed by them forever in heaven, but this time all, including Christ, will be in the glorified body, whereby they can remain in heaven, they can stand in the presence of God and not be killed. Because the glorified body is the body that is suitable for the glorious heavenly environment that no believer will ever die again. That's what Jesus Christ meant. You may be also. That's what it is. Heaven in the glorified body. And that solves your fear and your trouble tonight. If you do not know where you are going after you die, not me, but Jesus Christ and your Creator, God Himself, reveals to you, if you die in your sin, you end up in hell. That's not what I say. That's what the Bible, that's what God says. And God purposely revealed that to us before you and I die, because he does not want to see any one of us end up in hell. He could very well have kept this revelation to himself and not place it in the Bible. And then you and I would not know. And we are in serious trouble, because when we die, we'll find out and it will be too late. We can't get out of hell. And so he's telling you tonight, if you die in your sin, you end up in hell. But if you die in Christ, you will end up in heaven. Your choice. But it must be because you are troubled due to your sin. Don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can be healthy and wealthy on earth. That kind of motive is from the devil. It is not taught in scriptures. The only reason why Christ came is because of your sins and my sins. The reason why Christ came is not so that you can be healthy and wealthy on earth. That is the lie of the devil. That kind of gospel does not save. That kind of gospel condemns you even more than ever before. Because that kind of gospel makes you think that you are going to heaven when you are still heading toward hell, and you will not know it until you die in your sin and find yourself in hell and you can't get out. That's why those who preach to you that kind of gospel, the Bible says there is a darkness reserved for them forever. And that is the lake of fire where they're going to burn forever and ever, not only because of their own transgression, but for the many, many people they have deceived into joining them in hell, in the lake of fire. Make sure of where you are going. You and I are living in a troubled world, and our lives are full of trouble. Be careful of the solutions that are only temporal. You and I need to find a solution that is permanent. And the solution is only in Christ. Only Christ alone can deliver us and save us. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And you know it tonight as well, because God has revealed it to you from the scriptures. You die in sin, you end up in hell. You know it now. You die in Christ, you end up in heaven. You know it now. So Jesus said, whither I go, you know. And the way you know, and Jesus was referring to heaven, telling the disciples, you know, this knowledge is cognitive, based upon teaching, not experiential. The experiential knowledge will come in verse 7 onwards. They will know later, experiential, Jesus will talk about it. But right now, based upon all the teachings from Christ that they have already heard, they know cognitively, just as you know tonight, cognitively. But when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that cognitive knowledge will turn into experiential knowledge. And this experience is real. You will never be the same again. You have been transformed from inside out. The things that you used to love that are designed by the devil, you will begin to hate, to despise. The things that you are completely indifferent to, reading the Bible, coming to church, having Christian fellowship, either you are indifferent to it or you despise it, you will now begin to love it, enjoy it, look forward to it, sincerely with all your heart. How is that possible? It is possible because of the work of Christ in your life. And so Thomas said to the Lord, "We know not whither thou goest, how can we know the way?" Jesus said, "I'm telling you, you know the way. Die in sin, end up in hell. Die in Christ, going to heaven. I'm going to the cross to prepare the way so that you can go to heaven. That's why I'm going to take away your sins by suffering on your behalf, by dying on your behalf. You know." And so Jesus continued to tell them, "I am the way. Not only do I show you the way," Jesus says, "I am the way. I can only show you the way, but Jesus is the way." He qualified it with the truth. "I am the way. I am the truth." What does that mean? "I am the true way." That's what he means by adding the truth. "I'm not lying to you. The way of the God of this world, he is lying to you. You think your life of success is measured by dollars and cents? That's a lie. Why? Because money cannot stop death from your life. You know that, right? That's why it's a lie. But the way that Jesus Christ is telling you, he came from heaven. That's why he knows the way to heaven, because he is the way to heaven. And it is the true way. That if you truly believe in Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ of the Bible, not the Jesus Christ that is now defined by the God of this world. If you are in a charismatic church, you have to get out. Because in these churches, you do not have the true way. You have the way that is false. You have to come out. They worship like the world. That you cannot deny. You close your eyes. If I play the rock and roll of the world, I play the way of charismatic worship, you can't tell the difference. The church is supposed to be a mirror image of what heaven is like. You think heaven is like what the charismatic are presenting in their daily worship or weekly worship? With all their loud music, with all their carnality, with that kind of light? That is a mirror image of the world. You know that. You have seen that in the rock and roll gatherings of thousands of people. There is a mirror image of the world. And now you are told that it is a mirror image of heaven. That's a lie. That is not the true way. That is the way of death. That's why if you are in a charismatic church, you have to come out. You cannot remain in there. The more you remain in there, the more you promote that kind of lies. You give up your offering. You are giving money to the devil to continue to promote his lies. Jesus says, "I am the way. I am the true way." And it is the true way that will give you eternal life. That's why he says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." The true way, that is the true living way. The way that will remove all your troubles. Because the greatest trouble on earth and in life is the trouble created by sin against God. Isn't that true? All the other troubles we talk about, not enough money for my children's education. You work hard enough, you find the money. Your son study hard enough, your daughter study hard enough, you can get a scholarship, you can get bursaries. Problem solved. But death, no man can solve. No one on earth can solve except Christ. That's why Jesus says, "I am the way, the true way, the truth, which will lead to eternal life, the life." Because Jesus Christ went to prepare the way for you to enter heaven by suffering and by dying on the cross for you. All you need is to receive and accept. All you need is to cry to God right now with all your heart that you accept. That's it. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How clear do you want? Why? Why is it that no man can come to God the Father but by Christ, but through Christ? The answer is obvious, because of sin. Because of sin in your life and in my life. All the founders of all the religions of the world are from day one, from the time of Abel. They all die. No one rose from the dead except Christ. Because none of them, what they did was good enough for God. But when Christ died, it was good enough for God that God raised Christ from the dead to tell us what Jesus Christ did by living and dying for you is good enough for God the Father to take away all your sins. And I show this to you by his resurrection. He defeated death on your behalf, because death is a result of sin. When all our sins are washed by the blood of Christ, when Christ suffered and died for us, the payment that is yours and mine to give, which is to be punished for our own sin, the Lord Jesus Christ bore it all. He took it all on him when he suffered and died for your sins and for my sins. It is not automatic. He did not come and die, and that is universal salvation. You have to believe and accept and receive the offer of God's love in Christ by confessing your sin and crying to God that I believe, I accept what Christ did for me with all my heart. If you do not accept, you have just thrown away the only way to the Father, the only way to God, the only way back to heaven, the only way to heaven, the only way out of hell. That's what Jesus Christ has to be so abundantly clear. No man can come to the Father but through me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. What did Jesus Christ mean? This is experiential knowledge now. He's saying to the disciples, you had known me. You have known me all this while as I walk on earth. You have seen me in my mortality, just like one of you. You cannot deny that. You have seen me through my miracles, and you have already acknowledged that I am God. God walking on earth, you had known me. But one day, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you will continue to know me and have seen him. So you have known him and have seen him. That is God the Father. How come? Because Christ is the mirror image of God the Father. They had known Christ while he was on earth in mortality. But very soon after Christ's resurrection, Christ will appear to them. And Christ will appear this time in the glorified body for 40 days, only to believers. And all the disciples here, except Judas Iscariot, they will see Christ for who he really is in his glorified body, which now they believe by faith. Soon they are going to see him by sight. Fully God and fully man in the glorified body. That's what he meant. If you had known me past, then Christ that is in human form, a human form that will soon suffer and die, ye should have known my Father. They will see God the Father just as they have seen Christ in mortality. And from henceforth, from now onwards, very soon after my death, my resurrection, from henceforth, you know him. You will continue to know God the Father. And you have seen God the Father. Because Jesus says, those who have seen me have seen the Father. God the Father is always in spirit form. Christ is the only person in the Trinity who can appear in bodily form. Right now, he is in mortal bodily form. Very soon after his resurrection, he will be in the glorified bodily form. That's why there is a clear distinction in verse 7, using the past tense of what they had seen Christ in mere mortality, And very soon they're going to see Christ in his glorified body for eternity. And when they do that, they will continue to see God as they remember Jesus Christ in his glorified body. But they have seen God the Father when they witness Christ in his glorified body, his resurrected body. That's why Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he used the same disciples who will witness all these things to write to us the Bible, the New Testament, as an eyewitness account, as a testimony that what they are telling us is real. They have experienced it. They have seen it. They've experienced what it was like for Christ to walk on earth perfectly. They've experienced what it was like to see Christ in his resurrection. They were there as they witnessed his ascension. They were not there when he came down as an infant born of the Virgin Mary in the manger. They were not born again yet. But they will be there for all the rest. His testimony, his witness on earth, and his resurrection and his ascension. They can show us the way. It's found in the Bible. Christ is the way. We are showing you the way tonight. All you need is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He came from heaven. He has seen God the Father. He was with God the Father. And he can show you. All the others can't. All the others religion of the world, they can't. They did not come from heaven. Christ came from heaven. He was God. He became man. And the God-man died for you. And that's why Jesus Christ tonight wants to help you get rid of the greatest trouble in your life by showing you the way, the truth, and the life. And the greatest trouble on earth is the trouble of sin resulting in death. Only in Christ can that trouble in your life be removed forever. Jesus came to live and to die for you, to take away your sin, so that the trouble you now are in with God will no longer trouble you ever again. You will be in heaven one day, for you no longer have to be afraid of the greatest trouble of your life, death. Only Jesus Christ, who came to die and live for you, can be your solution. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee, O God, for the revelation that You have given to us in Thy holy word. We thank Thee, O God, that these are indeed the word of God Almighty and not the word of man. But we have just heard the voice of God Almighty. Now all of us know the way and know how to get to heaven. Help us to turn what we know in our head into our heart. Help us to turn what we know as cognitive knowledge into experiential knowledge. For this is your desire for all of us. For you do not desire to see anyone cast down to hell. For we know that we will be cast into hell if we were to die in our sin. And while we are still breathing right now, cause us, O Lord, to believe with all our heart and accept Jesus Christ and identify ourselves with him and to be crucified with him, that he indeed suffered for me, he indeed died for me, and he indeed rose from the dead for me as well. May this be the heartfelt cry of everyone tonight, that none of us may walk out of this sanctuary not having accepted the way, the truth, and the life that the Lord Jesus Christ offered us himself. For he is truly the way to heaven. He is truly the way to everlasting life in Christ Jesus with God. And one day, he will return and take us home to be with him. Help us, O Lord, to be faithful, to be a holy witness, while we wait for that blessed day to become a reality, when the Lord Jesus Christ, who has gone ahead to prepare a way for us, and one day he will return to take us home to be with him in glory. For this we ask with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.